does God require of us in relation to the works he places in front of us to do? Does he really require us to serve, to help, to love? Can't we just please ourselves and let others please themselves? Do we really have to carry the load? Do we really have to work here while others are free to play their lives away? Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This broadcast is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. This week, Pastor Jim takes us through what God tells us about our works and how God rewards those who faithfully obey his command to serve.
Let's turn to Galatians chapter 6 and find the sixth verse. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those of the household of faith. Oh, Father, Lord, we pray that you would take your word today and by your Holy Spirit move upon the people who are here, the people who are watching online today, those who will watch online later, those who will listen to this on the radio, and those who will, through the other medias, listen to this around the world. Move upon their hearts, Lord, to see and to draw close to you. Oh, Father, we know that the reading of your word and that the preaching of your word and that the songs are all to your glory. So we pray, Father, that you be glorified by us. And we also know, Lord, that we can't just glorify you. So we ask you, Lord, glorify yourself through us. May our worship be acceptable to you at your throne. And I ask you, Father, to speak through me. Speak through your servant, Lord, that is saved by grace, this sinner. Speak that your people would know you. In Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. Sixth verse says, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Who is taught the word? Who teaches the word? What are the mediums? What are the ways that someone might receive God's word? Well, we know we just mentioned a few of them here. Those of you that are here present with us today will receive through the teaching God's word. Those who were in Sunday school today will receive through the teaching of God's word. Those who came Wednesday night for Bible study will receive the teaching of God's word. Those who are watching us online or will watch us later online will receive by the teaching of God's word. How about those who listen on the radio in all the states that our radio is in? By listening, they will receive God's word. Or those who click on sermon audio or whatever else to find us. By listening, they will receive. But today we have another dimension right in front of us of God teaching. And that is through his written word placed where people will receive it. These are all teachers of the word of God. These are all teachers that share with you the most important things that you will ever here. We talk about joyful days. You know, I've mentioned before how joyful it was to me when my bride came around the corner the day we got married. How joyful it was to me with each of our children as they were born and I was to hold them the first time. But the most joyful, most important thing you will ever experience is the salvation of Jesus Christ. Because then, and only then, are you able to start to accomplish what you were created for? And you were created to bring glory to his holy name. And you cannot do that as a lost person. Now, God may bring glory to himself by something that happens in the life of a lost person, but you will not be a conduit of glory unless you belong to Jesus Christ. Now, we know that the first catechism that I love to repeat over and over and over is, what is the chief end of man? It is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And you cannot enjoy him, period, unless you have received his word. He has regenerated your heart and you have been saved. I'm amazed at how far people who know not the true God will go to express their false God. There are those who will go so far as to give up their life in a suicide bombing for a God that does not exist. But you, if you sit in a good Bible preaching church, are taught the word. And your thanksgiving should, of course, first be to God, right? Thanks be to God, the author and finisher of my faith. But there also should be an appreciation to those who bring the word. An appreciation that allows them to continue to take the word as far as God would have them to take it. A year or so ago, I was looking at a map. And if you take and divide Kansas and Nebraska on a straight north-south line through Salina, everything west of that, there are only, in those two states, there are only two full-time Southern Baptist preachers. Only two. Every other Southern Baptist preacher west of that line is receiving something from a church, hopefully, but they are bivocational. They're out there working so that they can continue to bring the word to those people who will come to that congregation. Folks, we need to support those who see to it that the word of God is taught. Whether they are providing Bibles, as we'll hear about here shortly, or whether they are going themselves and teaching. We need to be about the word of God. In Romans 15 and verse 27, it says, "For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought to also be of service to them in material blessings. It is right, according to the word of God, for you to help and support and encourage those who take the word wherever it might be." All these years that we have been working with those in Pakistan, there are still some who are giving on a regular basis money to go to Pakistan. We want the word of God to be shared wherever it possibly can be. We know that it is our duty to go out and to share the word of God. It is our responsibility to go out and to love people enough to offend them if that's what it takes for them to hear the word of God. 1 Corinthians 9:11 says, "If we have sown spiritual things among you, is it too much if we reap material things from you?" In America especially, we have gotten confused over what's most important. In America, we have gotten to a place where we begin to think that our material possessions are the most important thing we have. That if we don't have this amount for retirement, there's nothing God can do for us. Oh, if we don't have this much to live on each month, if we don't have this many TVs, if our cell phone is not this expensive, then we don't have a good enough cell phone. I've said before how amazed I am. You know, our pantry, last year we did over 1 million meals out of the pantry, and yet, most every single person that comes in there, and most of their children, have a cell phone, but they're hungry. 1 in 6, it says, in the United States, 1 in 6 are hungry. We've gotten our priorities mixed up, haven't we? We think that our blessing of God is measured by what we have and not who we have. Or should I say, who has us? That was the mistake that the Jews made. The Jews believed that if God was blessing you, that blessing would always be financial. So because we have gotten this all mixed up, not only are churches shutting down all across our country, and yes, Southern Baptist churches too, but preachers are walking away from the pulpits, discouraged and unable to continue. And it's happening all around us. Over the last 20 years, you know, this is our 20th year. Over the last 20 years, we've had a number of those kind of pastors come through. Some for a week or two and some for longer. Discouraged because the people in the pew either do not belong to Jesus Christ at all or they have their priorities mixed up. And one thing I love about preaching expositionally. Is I can come to the next verse and you don't have to think, oh, well, he thinks he doesn't get enough money. I can come to the next verse and I can preach it boldly and fully because that's the next verse that we come to. I don't have to worry about what are they going to think when I preach this verse. So let me preach it. And let me tell you that if you are not giving and you are receiving of the spiritual things, you are not following the Word of God. Because the Word of God says you will give. In fact, we are all familiar with being a cheerful giver. You shouldn't be giving grudgingly to those who teach and bring to you the spiritual food that you need far more than the physical food. You should be giving them with joy. So he goes on here. Paul says, verse 7, do not be deceived. Actually, Paul uses that term a few times throughout the scriptures. Because we are so easily deceived. Remember, early in this book of Galatians, Paul says, oh, you foolish Galatians, who bewitched you? Or in other words, you are deceived. And Paul's telling them, stop being deceived. Why are they deceived? Because they're worried more about something that does not concern God than they are about those things that do concern God. In the book of Galatians, we know that that thing that they're so consumed with, so concerned about, is the Judaizers telling them that they must be circumcised to be a Christian. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, they will not receive the kingdom of God. Folks, look around our world. Look around our nation. And I'm sad to say, look around our community. This is what they have turned to. Our very community would rather attack somebody because they speak this truth than to go to the Word of God prayerfully and learn. And when I say community, I'm talking church people too. I'm not talking about Christians. I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about church people. I tell you, church people are the hardest people there is to get along with. Not the Christian. Not the church. Church people. Those people who make so much of going to church, but make so little of Jesus Christ. Do not be deceived. Understand this. If you think you can get by without doing what is right, God will not be mocked. Paul says, God is not mocked. Makes me think of that movie we watched many years ago. I enjoyed that movie very much. It was Flywheel. And the car lot owner, in that movie, the car lot owner who later becomes saved, he's sitting in church because his wife has drug him into church, and he didn't want everybody to think he was cheap, so he throws an empty offering envelope into the offering plate. You know, he might fool some of the people there, maybe even all the people there, but he never fooled God. Never. God knows that whatever you sow is what he's going to allow you to reap. Whatever you sow is what you will reap. Now, sometimes we don't see any of that reaping in this life and in this world, but sometimes we do. But you are a fool if you believe that you are fooling God. If you believe that you are doing things to make somebody think that you are a great Christian and living like the world, you are a fool. If you believe that that is going to get you by, and you are a fool if you think that is going to get you to heaven. God will not be mocked, and he will not be mocked by anyone. No one is going to mock him. He knows. He knows all things before they ever were thought of. He knew all things before the foundation of the world. So what one sows, he will reap. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. When I was in Texas, I remember hearing an illustration of a, and it's not a good illustration, but it works, of a woman who dies and goes to heaven. And she gets to heaven and she's walking down the streets of gold with St. Peter. And he's taking her to her mansion that has been prepared for her. And she's passing people that she knows who have already gone ahead. And seeing the beautiful mansions that they had. And she's getting excited because she was thinking about how beautiful and how wonderful a mansion was on earth and how much better it's going to be there. And they get to the end of the golden street, and there's this little Gilligan's Island hut. And Peter says, "This is yours." She says, "What do you mean?" She says, "What do you mean? This is mine. Look at all these beautiful mansions that we passed. And people that I know didn't have as much money as me." And he said, "Well, this is all we could do with what you sent ahead." Now, again, that's a bad illustration. But it gets the point across, doesn't it? It gets the point across that we will reap what we sow. There are rewards that are coming in heaven, aren't there? And those rewards will be based on your service. We do not do works and service and deeds and acts to receive salvation. We do them because of salvation, and we're sending it ahead when we do them. Verse 8 says, "For the one who sows to his own flesh will from flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." You see, when we get so worried about our material things, we put aside the spiritual. What's going to happen to this body that we're in? At some point, we're going to die, and the Spirit is going to leave this body, isn't it? And when the Spirit leaves this body, the Spirit's going to go to one of two places. And the body itself is either going to be burned, or it's going to decay to nothing. But the Spirit will still be alive. It'll either be alive in heaven or in hell. And when we spend so much time worrying about this body, this material, this things that I have now and all I can get, we ignore what's most important, those things of God. Chris read this morning from Hosea 8, verse 7, it says this, "For they sow the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. The standing grain has no head. If it shall yield no flour, if it were to yield, strangers would devour it." Or Job, he says this, "As I have seen those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same." Brothers and sisters, hear me. We must have our mind on those things of the Spirit. We must have our mind on those things of God. And it shows. Folks, I don't care how often somebody's in church. Let me rephrase that. I don't care how often somebody thinks that their church service going is going to save them. It never will. You can go to church every Sunday, every Sunday night, every Wednesday. You can be in church every time the doors are open, and maybe you open them a few times yourself. But if it is not the Lord that you are there for His glory, then it is all in vain. It is all in vain. So we need to sow those things. Now, one of my favorite chapters in all of Scripture is Matthew 25. And the reason that's my favorite, it talks about the final judgment. And in that final judgment, Jesus says that those who gave Him drink, those who gave Him to eat, those who visited Him, those who saw Him in prison, those who gave Him something to wear, all these different things, He's going to say to them, "As you've done it for the least of these, you've done it for Me." You want to do something that is going to honor and glorify God? Then you give to people out of love for Christ and make sure they know that's why you did it. And when they know that's why you did it, whether it changes them or not is up to God. But it'll change their view of you, and it'll be storing up for the reaping in heaven. Verse 9 says, "Let us not grow weary in doing good." Oh, folks, how many people start in their own strength, and they're going along in their own strength, and they just can't finish. Have you seen them? They come, and they're busy about, they want to jump in. And then all of a sudden, they're distracted, they're offended, they're off doing their own thing, or they're church hopping. Tony Mateo once told me about a couple that had come to our church for a while. He said, "You know, I have counted over 30 churches that this couple has been to. 30 churches. Well, I hope they were bringing a message to those churches. Why would somebody hop that many times? Because what they're looking for is not God. What they're looking for is their own entertainment. And when that church no longer meets their desire to be entertained, then on to the next one. We cannot grow weary in doing good. We have to, by the Spirit of God, dig in and go. Now, there is a large difference between growing weary as the scriptures put it here, and getting tired for a time. When we serve with all our heart, there's times when we're going to get tired, isn't there? Brother Dennis Donnelly has been in over 56 countries for the Gideon to put the Word of God in those places where people will see it and read it. I can imagine that maybe once in all those years he got a little tired. Maybe once. But that didn't mean he was weary. He wasn't done. That means he needed refreshed, encouraged. Back to verse 6. Encouraged, lifted up, refreshed, rested, and sent back on the trail. Well, you know that took place with even the apostles, didn't it? There were times when they needed to be encouraged, refreshed, rested, and then sent back on the trail. That's the reason we call missionaries back. Even missionaries that are fully funded that don't have to come back to the States to raise money, but they still need to come back. They need to have a time of rest. So that's not what it's talking about. When he says, let us not grow weary in doing good, he's saying, stop quitting. Stop quitting. Just go. Serve. Do what is right before God. Not what is right in your own mind. And when we do that, look at the last part of this verse. I'll get the middle in a minute. If we do not give up, what? If we do not give up, we will reap according to how we have sown by God's grace. We will reap. You know, this ministry, I've told you all how wonderful it is right now. But we have had some hard times along the way. We have had times when we were cussed and everything else. But what we had to do was do what we believed was right by God, what God called us to. People will say, well, and I've heard this many times, not from just one, but many. Well, if you start children's church, well, we believe that children's church draws kids away from God. That they need to be in the sanctuary worshiping with their family so that they can grow in the Word of God. Not just be entertained, because what happens when we entertain them for the first 10 years of their life? What do they want when they get 11 years old or 12 years old? If church isn't entertaining, then that's not what they want. We don't make it about God's Word. We make it about entertainment. I've had people get upset with me because I told them that Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, were distractions from God's Word. I've had people get upset with me because I told them that a character in a movie was not real, and if it was, it was darkness. I told somebody that Twilight was darkness. The vampires are not called creatures of darkness and then not be dark. And I had people leave the church over that. Folks, we have been through it. But we will not grow weary. We will stay and complete the task that God has put before us. When Cynthia and I leave this church, it's going to be one of two ways. Either God has called us home or He has called us out. Those are the only two things that are going to cause us to leave this church. He's called us home or He's called us out. So do not give up. I tell you, we have seen such great blessings by staying the course. Doesn't take away from how hard it's been, but we have seen great blessings. At the very least of those, we could say our son-in-law and daughter-in-law have been such great blessings. But that's just the beginning. Stay the course, my friends. Serve God with your whole heart, that you may reap what you have sown in due season. And friends, that season might be after you have died and you go into His kingdom. But I assure you that if you are staying the course and sowing the good seed, there will be many moments of great blessing and reaping now as well. I'm not saying you'll have Donald Trump's money. I'm not saying you'll have fame. I'm saying there'll be many blessings for the humble man and the humble woman in Christ along the way. So he continues here in verse 10. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to who? Everyone. Let us do good to everyone. You know, one of the things like our food pantry. Our food pantry, we have a designed area that we serve with the food pantry. And in that designed area that we serve with the food pantry, we'll help anyone who is in need. Outside of that designed area, if we have a military family that comes in, we know the young militaries make nothing. And if there's a family in there too, of course we're going to jump in and help there. But also, if there's a need within our body, we want to help with that as well. So we take opportunity to help everyone that we can, especially the household of faith. Not just with the food pantry, but with anything that we do. Brothers and sisters, you are of utmost importance to us. We are willing as a church to sacrifice for you. Because that's the opportunity to do to the least of these. Who knows what it is that we need to do for the least of these? Only God knows. But He will send them, and you have the opportunity to do it or reject it. I really, truly believe with all my heart that to do what He puts before us is where we find blessing. Several years ago, when I was going door to door selling those funerals, I came across a lady. She and I were sitting there visiting an older lady, and she was telling me how she called them hobos. We call them homeless today. She was saying how hobos would always come to her back door. And she said, I fed every one of them. She said, we were poor. She said, but I fed them because I didn't know that they might be an angel of the Lord. She said, I fed them all. Folks, we need to step up. I know of no other church that does what this church does to help its community, to get God's word out around the world. But does that mean we've done enough? I don't know how to thank my Lord enough for what He did for me. So what is enough? I believe we just go as He gives us opportunity and trust Him for the strength that we would not grow weary. Proverbs 3:27, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. John 9:4, we must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. Do we know that? Do we understand that? That night is coming? And it's coming quickly? 1 Timothy 6:18, they are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. That's who we are to be. And then finally, 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Folks, who is the family? Who is the brother? Who is the neighbor? Let us serve. Let us serve together and let us give back. Let's pray. Holy Father, Lord, I pray that you would take your word and that you would use this simple servant to move those who hear your word, to move them in such a way, Father, to bring glory to your holy name by your Holy Spirit through us, those you have saved by grace for your glory's sake. In Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Night is coming. The days in front of us are looming dark and threatening. But the glorious promise of God is this: we will reap a harvest of joy and righteousness if we do not grow weary in doing good, according to His command. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we would love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counselor guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com, or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We have a thank you gift we'd like to send you if you mention it when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks, and may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.